And a very good morning. Welcome in here on WQAM Hollywood. Omar Kelly, Dan, Brittany's here with us as well this morning. We got the full crew here, Omar. Not even going to go B-team on you this morning. We're all set to go. The Knicks. You heard Dan in the update there. A lot of stuff going on. The Knicks on the verge of elimination here after Tyrese Halliburton, 32, 12 and 15 last night. Didn't have any turnovers in there either to make it a little historic triple-double as the Pacers cruise past the Knicks last night. And New York on the verge of elimination. I will tell you, it's funny. I'm listening, driving in, you know, and the guys on the air are Knicks fans. They do that show before us out of New York, right?
It's, okay, makes sense.
Yeah, so they're all Knicks fans, and, you know, they're just like, oh, we'll get them in this next one.
Delusional.
We know we'll get them, you know, in game six, and then they were like, oh, but then game seven will be our disappointment game. And I don't know. I don't know how far it's going to get. I think, you know, again, it is clear in that series who the better team is. I do feel for Knicks fans because I do think they, you know, with the exception of the ones that are attacking people outside of the Garden.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I do feel like they are good basketball fans. It's obviously a great basketball market, and, you know, the Garden is a very special place for anyone who's been. You know the feel of that building, especially for a big basketball game. But this just felt to me, Omar, like this was the chance. If the Knicks were ever going to get over the hump, they got past the Celtics, who lost Jason Tatum, and, you know,
they were beating the Celtics before Jason Tatum. Don't weaken their case.
I don't know how that series goes if he stays healthy, but nevertheless, they got past Boston, and you had your chance here to beat Indiana to get to the finals.
Just to beat Indiana. Indiana been playing like one of the best teams in the NBA.
I know they're playing good ball, but again, just to me, like, it felt like if it was ever going to happen for the Knicks, like, this, everything just kind of broke in the right way for them.
Well, it wasn't going to happen then.
No, and it's not going to happen right now. It doesn't look like OKC and Indy, again, looking like the potential finals matchup.
I know you're all excited. Super sexy, right?
I think as a basketball fan, it's a good matchup. I know it's not very sexy as far as, like, the casual basketball fan.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm
great offensive team versus great defensive team.
Yeah, but I'm guessing the league isn't all fired up, you know, over that matchup. But, you know, nevertheless. By the way, where's Richie this morning? We got to find Richie, our Knicks fan. Vlad is already gone. Vlad's in hiding. He's like on vacation or something. He left a while ago. So we got to find our Knicks fans this morning.
Vlad's in that crowd beating up on the casuals.
That's tough. But
I hate that. I truly do hate that. And I would expect better from the Knicks fans, even though I really shouldn't. But, you know, and I'm sure fans get beat up at every arena or every stadium.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's like – and the other thing they always do, they go, oh, they leave early. The fans leave early. They do that down here. It's like, well, you know, 18,000 people go to the game. I don't know that it's a very good representation of the city as a whole.
Yeah, no.
Right? I don't know how many millions of people off the top of my head we have living down here. But what's the percentage of people that go to a game? Like less than 1% of your population? So I don't know. I never thought that was a very good representation. Again, New York they do have good basketball fans there. Like, you know, whatever you want to say, but yes, they have been attacking people outside of the Garden of late.
So, it's kind of tacky.
I think that fan, by the way, was at the game last night because it was one of the games in New York, and the fans had attacked this fan and they were throwing garbage bags at him, which, by the way, if you've been in New York recently, there are garbage bags everywhere, just piled up on the streets, just everywhere. I was there for the Miami-Tennessee game. I filled in for Josie for that game, so I was up in New York recently. I hadn't been to New York in a while. A lot of garbage bags, so they're easily accessible to people over there. So, you know, they were throwing garbage bags at this guy. He turned out to be a firefighter.
Oh, this guy.
And so Tyrese Halliburton was on with McAfee and was like, hey, you know, we want to fly you out here, you know, go to the game, all expenses paid and all that stuff. So it was very nice. And I think he was at, I want to say he was at game four yesterday. So, yeah, he was, maybe he was the good luck charm to lead the Pacers over the Knicks. But, yeah, man, these rivalries tend to get vicious. We see it a lot during football season. There's a lot of bad blood between fan bases. I never understood, you know, wanting to fight someone in a stadium.
Yeah.
I never have gotten that worked up over a game.
in my life.
I think alcohol assists.
I think that plays a role.
Hold on. I will say this. Probably the most hostile environment I've ever listened to. And one, you know, I don't go to games as a fan.
No, I know.
But
you sit in the protected area.
I don't know if I would call it the protected area, maybe the chosen area. I have gone to Heat games as a casual.
Okay.
People know that.
You're not going to say Heat fans.
I've seen Heat fans and Knicks fans get into it.
But not recently.
Not recently, but yeah. I mean, but walking out of a Knicks game, there's just trash talk going on.
Yeah.
The whole route. And I could see how some of that can get into a little fisticuffs. But the worst is UMFSU. Now,
no, that's a bad one.
Yeah. Yes.
UMFSU is vicious.
I've never even been to UM. I have been to UM Florida, but I wasn't a casual. And
I don't think that has the same. No.
It doesn't have the same.
UMFSU is vicious. There's no question about it. Those they just don't like each other. That's a good one. And that rivalry has never gone away. Like, those teams have certainly had rough times, right? And it hasn't gone away. Heat and Knicks is not, oh man, I hate saying
not
this.
Not fiery?
I don't even know if it's a rivalry anymore. Heat Knicks. Like, when was the last time those two played in a relevant game?
Carmelo Anthony was Knicks uniform.
It was like the Stoudemire punch the fire extinguisher series. Like, but that still wasn't, you know, very competitive. Right, so I guess you'd have to go back to the John Starks, Zoe, you know, Van Gundy, like that era of you know, basketball. That was a long time. What was that 25 years ago now? Something like that.
You're
the last time
us, bro.
That thing was relevant. And I could say the same thing about Dolphins Jets. When was the last time the Dolphins and Jets played in a really relevant game?
Last year, when the Dolphins could have possibly, potentially, maybe, hopefully, made it to the playoffs, and Aaron Rodgers stuck his foot in their backside.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though, man. I'm not talking about like that or what was it, a couple years before when they had the Skylar Thompson game against the Jets.
Oh yeah, to make the playoffs.
Where
there's a lot of relevant games
where they scored on the kickoff.
Here's
so
my
that
opinion
they could
on
cover the spread. I mean,
here's my opinion on. I don't think rivalries exist anymore outside of maybe college athletics. Just because there's no Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas, like, bad blood with the Jets. I just don't see it. I've covered the NFL during that era where, you know, you say it's Jets week and, oh, mm-hmm. You know what time it is. There's no Jets week.
No, there isn't.
There's no.
But isn't it like, and I'm actually thinking, like, now that I think of this, we're just kind of just going off, you know, off script with this, but now the more that I think of it, I guess the main reason that's the problem is because you don't have guys on the same team very consistently,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
Teams change so much, and the characters change. And
I don't think they change that
in
much.
In college, the rivalries are just, they're ingrained in the fans, right?
Yes.
They just are. In the pros, it's like, all right, the Heat and Knicks have not played a relevant game in so many years. And
stop lying to the people that keep playing relevant games. It's just not.
No, not that kind of relevant. But if I asked you who's the Heat's biggest rival right now, you'd say Boston.
Yes.
The Heat have played much.
But I would say that during the LeBron era that it would be Boston.
Absolutely. And that's when it really started, right? It started during the LeBron era, and it kind of continued after that. But that thing was that was a vicious rivalry, and those were two teams that were competing for championships. And I think that's why, right? If you're not competing at a high level, you just don't have it. Now, like, I get you have, like, your Bears-Packers. You'll have something like that. Like, that's obviously a good rivalry. And, I you know, that's one that probably won't go away. But, yeah, there's not a ton of them. Maybe there's some, you know, some in baseball that are good. I think
baseball still has rivalries.
I think the Panthers have a good rivalry going with Tampa Bay.
That's true.
I think that thing's actually pretty good. But the issue there again is that both of those teams are good and they're both in the playoffs. And the Lightning have had a lot of success. The Panthers now have had a lot of success. So can you have a rivalry when you have teams that have been down for a while, and the Knicks have been down for a long time. But college rivalries, I don't think matter. To me, it doesn't matter if teams are good, bad, or in between. Ohio State, Michigan's always going to be a rivalry.
It is
going to be a fiery rivalry. Same thing with Miami FSU.
Same thing with your UCF and USF.
They don't play anymore.
They don't play anymore?
No, they don't play anymore.
Why would they not play anymore?
Because of money and, you know, conferences and whatever. So they don't play anymore.
I couldn't even tell you what conference both teams are in.
I'm sure you could. It's gotten a little tricky out there.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
what,
I don't know
if you... What conference is USF in?
The American, and then UCF's in the Big 12. So they're not in the same conference anymore.
Damn, but how did your school get left out of the big boy conference?
Poor leadership. If you have any rivalries that you would like to throw at us here, 305-567-0560, what's out there that's still doing it for you these days? But, again, the problem with the pro game is that players are switching teams so much.
That's
I remember,
true.
Like, you know, when these rivalries were a thing, it was the same teams that would just keep coming back and coming back. Guys were not, you know, jumping ship as much. Not to say that it didn't happen, but guys are just all over the map now with switching teams.
Quinn Williams is probably going to be the longest standing Jet. Zach Sealer, who's playing? I think this is the final year of his career. He doesn't have guaranteed money. He needs a new deal after the season. But yeah. You're right. Tua's gonna
it's
be.
Just the characters change so much, right?
That's true.
I mean, the Jets are so much different than they were just a couple of years ago, right?
The Jets are so much different than they were a year ago.
Yeah, so there's just a lot of different characters on all these teams, but that's kind of went into a little talk about rivalries there as we were talking about the Pacers and Knicks as the Pacers win that one. More importantly, though, the Panthers are hoping to get some bodies back for this game here tonight as they will be in Raleigh. Our poor friend Dave Hyde, I hope he made it, man. I don't know. I shut down Twitter last night, and he was still struggling in the airport getting updates from American.
Yep, get the Raleigh.
I don't know why.
I know those travel struggles, which is why I don't connect.
I think everybody knows those travel struggles, though. It's not good out there, man.
No.
The travel situation has derailed. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on out there at the airports, but it is tricky. But I'll check. I'll check on Twitter, see if hopefully Dave Hyde made it.
Yeah,
I don't know if he may even made it up there.
Let it rain a little in Miami. You're delayed 4 hours.
Yeah, but we'll let you know where everyone stands health-wise for the Panthers. We'll take a pause. Doug Plagans, by the way, is going to join us. He's in Raleigh because their plane leaves on time, right? The charter flight usually, well, I guess they wait for everyone to get there, but that flight usually makes it out on time. So he is in Raleigh. And we'll get an update from Doug Plagans. Alan Poupart is going to join us. By the way, your friend reached out yesterday on Twitter, so maybe we'll do that on Thursday with Omar and his YouTuber content creator beef. I tell you, the guy he just wants to be friends. I think he just wants to settle everything and be friends. I know you're a little uncomfortable doing this, but that's good. It's good to do these things sometimes, right? And you made a friend last time we did it.
A business partner.
You made a friend.
Yes.
Well, maybe you'll make another. Who knows? We'll do that on Thursday. But we'll take a pause. We'll come back, take a look at what the Panthers lineup could look like tonight as they try to close this thing out. Is this the night for the Panthers? Do they make it three straight trips and a chance at back-to-back Stanley Cups? By the way, poor Dave Hyde. I don't know if you got the news last night, but it's looking like Edmonton might be in his future once again.
Ouch!
So you guys get flyer miles, though, don't you?
Don't worry about our miles and points and hotel stays.
Man, you guys must have all the status and all that. You're the people that, like, when I'm sitting there and they start calling people up for, like, first-class upgrades, you're those people, aren't you? I always wonder how people get into that thing with the upgrades. But
loyalty, baby. Loyalty.
Yeah, loyalty.
I tell you, I don't, and my friends joke about it all the time, if it ain't Marriott, it ain't right.
I have no loyalty in the game, man. I stay at the cheapest, and I fly with whoever's cheapest is where I'm flying. Hi, welcome back in here on QAM. Sounds like the kind of song you'd hear in like a Karate Kid movie or something. By the way, they show the trailer again for that Jackie Chan, Ralph Macchio, Karate Kid remake. Jackie Chan looks good, man, for his age. He must be 90 by now. Like, he looked good, man. I was very pleased to see him. I'm going to be a huge Jackie Chan fan. He hasn't done anything, I guess, for a while, right? It's been
71,
a minute.
71, and he made a recent movie that I did not make it 30 minutes into. It was
really?
Yeah.
Oh, so he did make something recently.
Yeah, it was about a guy who was trying to live a normal life, but I think he was like a former killer or something.
Okay.
You know what we used to do in college? We'd sit around the dorm rooms and, you know, take deep breaths and watch Jackie Chan movies with the volume off and music playing in the background. It would trip you out, man, because of all the stunts and everything like that.
I think that's the drugs you were doing, Dan, but I understand where you're coming from.
That does sound shaky, Dan.
But I think it's the other things in the scenario of that equation of friends.
Do you remember the first movie I saw of his, and it might have been his first American movie, but I remember watching Rumble in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one? Did you ever see that, Omar?
I don't remember any Jackie Chan movie, but except for the ones with
Rush Hour with Chris Tucker, is where you're going. That's the mainstream one. Rumble in the Bronx was awesome.
Yes.
And that was the first one. My dad took me to see that movie, and it was rated R. And it was
your
like a big
dad
deal.
Took you to see Jackie Chan movies in the theater?
Yep. But that movie was awesome. Rumble in the Bronx was awesome.
You can't leave. You got to watch the outtakes.
Yep. The outtakes are great. And it showed, they show all, him getting hurt.
Yeah.
And I remember that in that movie, he was jumping onto what do they call it? A hovercraft. Remember, there's a scene in the end of the movie. He's jumping on the hovercraft, and he broke his ankle.
Yeah, and they had to put a cast on it, and they had to paint it like it was his pants and his shoes and stuff like that. Yeah,
I remember that, man. That's funny. Yeah, so good to see him back in action. They're making another movie, and Ralph Macchio's in that one. And what's the Cobra Kai, the show with Ralph Macchio? I made it through a handful of seasons of that. I have not watched the more recent ones. But I did make it through a handful of seasons of that show. That's
pretty good, he's made recent movies, but I can't even tell you. I think I was looking at another Asian. Unfortunately, I fall into the category of now saying that maybe they all look alike. I don't know. I have no idea which movie I was talking about, because it wasn't a Jackie Chan movie.
It wasn't a Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah, I feel bad now. I'm like, I have no idea who. But he's made two movies in 2025, Karate Kid Legend and Forgotten Martial Arts movies. In 2024, he made two movies, A Legend and Panda Plan. He makes.
Are these being released in America? Because I've never heard of these.
I have absolutely no. I mean, does it really matter anymore? Considering we're all watching streaming.
It's true. So it says it's not a remake. It's technically a sequel, I guess, the Karate Kid. So the Karate Kid one, well, I guess there was the one with the girl, right? What's her name?
Oh, come on. They're really making Ralph Macchio in a movie? And Jackie Chan looks older than dirt. I'm looking at this Karate Kid legend here.
Well, he's old.
Yeah.
First of all, I thought he looked good, but
Miyagi?
Don't be disrespectful. I used to love his movies. His movies were the best. And then remember Jet Li?
Yes. Maybe that's who I'm thinking about.
Jet Li had some really good ones. He had the one with DMX.
Romeo Must Die?
Yeah, he had the one with DMX.
Aaliyah?
Yep. Exactly.
Ah, Jet Li is the guy I'm thinking about. And
I don't want to say if he's alive or not. I'm not 1,000% sure. Dan?
Oh, he hasn't made a movie since.
He may not be able to make movies anymore.
Ouch.
Due to not being around, but I don't know. Anyway, before we jump down that road, who was it the other day? Oh, it was
Jet Li is alive and well.
Okay, it was inside the NBA that they said someone was dead, and they had to come back the next day and be do an apology because Barkley killed someone on the air. The guy was oh, that guy's dead.
and he was still living.
Sure enough,
we almost killed Jet Li a minute ago.
We did almost just kill him, but he's good. He's good. He's
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Okay, excellent. That's good to know.
Hasn't made a movie in a long time, but he's good.
There hasn't been a lot of kung fu movies lately. Not a lot. But speaking of that, and not really speaking of that, the Panthers are in Raleigh tonight to take on the Carolina Hurricanes in Game 5 with a trip to the Stanley Cup final on the line here for the Cats. Now, here's what you have. Sam Reinhart, Nico Mikkola, and A.J. Greer all took the ice for the Panthers during the Tuesday practice. They were part of a small group of skaters, and hopefully they, one, two, or three of them, are able to go tonight. Sam Reinhart clearly needed in the lineup along with the really, all three of those guys. So it'd be nice if they could get them back. Again, we'll talk to Doug Plagans later on in the show, and he'll let us know what he saw, if he knows anything. And Paul Maurice just keeps saying day to day, and we will see.
Yeah, when
you never know. By the way, with hockey players, you never know, because those guys play through some crazy stuff.
I hear that
some of the injuries those guys play through, it really is remarkable. Like you hear, like remember Tkachuk last year came out afterwards and had like a broken collarbone or something, and he was still playing, or a sternum, I think they got, I don't know, whatever it was. He played through that. These guys played through crazy stuff. So we'll see, but the Cats could certainly use some help as they try to close out Carolina here this evening. Of course, you can catch the game right here on WQAM. Someone said Jet Li was a badass in Lethal Weapon 4. That must have been a long time ago, though, right?
Lethal Weapon 4? I think he's the best bad guy. I think he's a good bad guy.
Jet Li?
He's in my top five of bad guys.
Okay. Jackie Chan, I don't think, has ever been a bad guy in any of these movies, though. He's usually the good guy.
I'm sure there's been one moment he's been a bad... Nah, you're probably right.
He's a good guy. Man. All the Rush Hour movies. The Rush Hour movies are good.
Yes,
and they're definitely fun movies. We haven't had any good kung fu movies lately, man. I don't know who's the next Jackie Chan out there.
Jet Li has had to come out and say, "I'm not dead yet." As recent as last year,
thought he was.
Yeah, it's
maybe
like
that's why I thought he was.
Yeah, he's like maybe.
I said hey, maybe.
I'm not dead yet.
Good. Maybe he'll come out with a new movie. I don't know. How old is he? He's got to be 70-something too, right?
I did look recently, but I will look again. I can't remember, but...
Dave Hyde has not made it to...
No, he
Raleigh.
Didn't. He was
did
stuck.
Not make it. Dave Hyde says he thinks I'm in travel shape for Edmonton now. American canceled flight about 12:45 a.m. Reset for 6 a.m.
Oh, so Dave's on...
Oh, poor yeah. Dave. I hope he's on his way now, at least.
Jet Li is 61. 62.
Oh, so someone said Jet Li has a history of health issues, including hyperthyroidism. That's why he retired. Oh, man, that sucks. That's disappointing to hear this morning. I liked a lot of his movies and Jackie Chan. I don't know if I'm missing any of our kung fu guys. Bruce Lee, I guess, was way before that with his stuff, right? But, yeah, those movies were... We're all pretty good. Anyway, we'll see if the Panthers can close this thing out tonight. That is an 8 o'clock start. And, again, you can catch the game here on QAM. Doug Plagans, Billy Lindsay, and Kevin Rogers will be on the call. And the Cats be third straight trip to the Stanley Cup Final if they can find a way to get this one here tonight. We'll do this. We'll take a pause. We'll get caught up here. Alan Poupart is going to join us at 8. Omar, the Dolphins are out on the fields, and you will be out there today. And I do want to hear what you have to say about what fans can expect from these OTAs. What can they expect to hear from Mike McDaniel today? We haven't heard from Mike in a little bit here. And I think it's funny. Mike Florio had a little something. I don't know if you caught that yesterday. Mike Florio put a little something out there, just a little like... what do they call it, in the water to get the sharks
chum?
All... Yeah, get the sharks all riled up. He put a little something out there yesterday, so we'll fill you in on that as well, as the Dolphins are on the field, man.
OTAs, baby.
I know it's not the most exciting thing in the world, but it's always good when we get a little bit closer to real football here as the months are ticking, man. We are almost to June, and the Panthers, they have taken us through June for three straight years now, so thank you to the Panthers. Used to be the Heat we would rely on to give us something to talk about late in the year, but it has now been the Panthers and the Dolphins on the field today. So we'll get Omar's thoughts on everything going on, and I'll show you what Mike Florio wrote as he just got things stirred up just a little bit here as OTA is getting set to take place. We'll take a pause. More to come on QAM. Welcome back in here on a Wednesday morning. Hope everyone's having a good start to their day. Pacers took down the Knicks. They lead that series 3-1. Speaking of 3-1, the Panthers trying to close out the Carolina Hurricanes this evening right here.
Closing time.
WQAM, 8 o'clock puck drop there. Omar, we were talking about this during the break. This UNC, Belichick, Jordan Hudson, Pablo Torre thing has gotten really weird. Talked about this like a week or so ago. I guess this is like his beat, and this is like the thing that he feels he needs to cover like this intensely. Apparently, he's willing to sue. He was on with Mike Florio, and we'll get to Mike Florio in a second with some Dolphin stuff, but apparently he is open to suing UNC if they don't release, you know, the emails and stuff that he requested. I know that because they're a public university, they have that Freedom of Information Act and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, look, again, the Belichick thing, like it's a funny story, and it's you know, obviously it's been enjoyable to read about and stuff. But I don't know, man. I think you dig a little too deep into someone's personal life, and it's just getting a little weird.
Yeah, nah.
Like, again, the stuff that's public, like her, you know, blowing up the CBS interview, that was funny. Finding out that she's got $8 million worth of real estate that he bought her is funny. Like, a lot of this stuff is funny, but, like, again, it just kind of seems to get a little weird when you keep digging at that level. Like,
he actually works for Dan Le Batard now.
Okay.
Meadowlark Media.
Yeah, which, again, the coverage is just, it's a little intense, I guess. I would say, but
yeah.
Anyway, he was on with Mike Florio and said that he would sue them if need be. So we'll see where that goes. Speaking of Mike Florio, though, he put this out yesterday, Omar, in the evening, 8:32 last night, and he said, "In 2025, the pressure will be on Tua Tagovailoa."
Will it?
Well, he said, the pressure's off Tua in the sense of that he won a second contract with a fully guaranteed almost $94 million at signing, and that will go up to about $148 almost through 2026. But he says, here's the question, will he make it to 2026?
Yeah, I mean,
he said the Dolphins have to pay him, but they don't have to keep him. And if the 2025 season goes poorly, the Dolphins quite possibly won't be keeping coach Mike McDaniel.
Okay.
Given he goes on from there and says he'll clearly be in an up or out season, given that
in
as 2026? Of 2026, only
no.
$3 million of the 2027 pay will be fully guaranteed. I know you are a big Mike Florio fan.
Yes, I am.
And I don't know why he decided to drop this yesterday.
Because it's
evening,
a slow news time.
It is a
we
slow news time.
We don't have anything to talk about.
Got you thinking a little bit. And yeah. Now Mike has to speak today. So maybe this gives people a little, you know, stuff to throw at Mike. But
I do a show called Dolphins Collective. It's a new podcast. It's really taken off. And I thank everybody for subscribing. It's me, TD, who you fueled
yes.
our feud last year.
I'm a matchmaker, bro. That's all I do. And then tomorrow we're going to work something out as well. We're going to
I don't think so.
We're going to fix your most recent fight. I don't know if you guys will end up being business partners or
no,
not,
we will
but
not.
You will be friends.
No.
After
we
this,
were so. Friends. We were associates,
this is
I
what
guess.
We do. We mend relationships.
Nah, it's
the,
not even my beef, man. It's not
well,
it's not even
said,
my beef.
He
just said my name.
He reached
there
out.
There will be consequences if you say my name.
He reached out and said he wants to squash the beef and wants
okay.
to set the record straight here. So let's see. We'll do this tomorrow. We'll have Reason come on, and we'll do it tomorrow. And again, see if we can't make some friends.
This has gone way too long. I really just want...
I know. It's got, we'll put an end to it tomorrow. Either that, or you guys will just have a massive falling out on the air, and you know we'll...
And you'll be entertained.
I will, as well as our listeners. We'll be very entertained by that. So one way or another, it's a win-win for me.
Either
we make
so.
A new
yeah.
friend, or we have a fight. So it's a win-win for me.
You, well, the things that get you going is
I
just
know.
It
is kind of sad. But, yeah. Man, you're right. It is the middle of the summer.
You love seeing a train wreck.
Yes, but it is the middle of the summer, as you said. You are right. So again, we'll.
I'm taking off on vacation on Friday. It's the last thing I want to think about, bro.
But maybe we can send you off with a new friend. Who knows? But what do you think of what Mike is saying here about this being the make or break year for Tua? It obviously seems to be the make or break year for Mike and Chris. But with that being said, too, I don't see any coach or any GM that will come in here and be like, all right, Tua is my guy, the same way that Mike did.
Nah, I disagree with you. Vehemently disagree with you. Okay. I think I was at the owners' meeting. The opinion on Tua is a lot higher than the public perception of the opinion on Tua. The only thing that NFL teams worry about is his fragility, is the fact that, okay, we know we're not going to have a long, healthy career with Tua, but I think...
Okay, that seems pretty meaningful, but keep going.
Yeah, I mean, but...
You said their opinion's a lot higher than the public opinion.
Oh, absolutely, their opinion's... Tua's a great quarterback. Not, sorry, let me retract that.
All right, let's redo that. Go ahead, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Let me retract
I'm going to give you a full pass on that. Looks like you're getting your notebook out. Hopefully there's different words in there other than great.
Is that
what do they call it, a thesaurus, where it has the different words?
No.
All right, keep going.
I will retract my great statement.
It's been stricken from the record.
Thank you, I appreciate
that. Go ahead.
Okay, Tua is a top half, upper echelon quarterback. Not elite. He is the Matt Ryan-esque quarterback of this era. You win games with him. Those things are not easy to find. Name me the team right now. Look at what the Giants had to go through.
Like, how many years has Tua been here?
Five.
Okay. How many seasons would you call a true success?
Two.
Okay. I know you did not win playoff games, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
I know.
So I guess my definition of success and your definition of success are just dramatically different.
But it's not just Tua that wins playoff games. You do realize that, correct?
I understand that. Yes, okay. I do understand that.
Let me put
still,
it.
Still, it's not like the teams were like,
okay.
Those are some good teams that they had those years.
Let's put this in a place where I think people can reach it, okay? Aaron Rodgers. 10 seasons with 100 rated pass as 100 rated passer. He's done 6 straight years where he's done that consecutively, mm-hmm. Okay? Drew Brees, 10 seasons as 100 rated passer, 6 straight years doing it consecutively. You know, in their heyday.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Young, 8 seasons as 100 rated passer, 4 seasons consecutively. Tom Brady, 8 seasons as 100 rated passer, 3 seasons consecutively. Peyton Manning.
I know where you're going with this. Okay.
Has 2 separate 3 consecutive season stretches where he's been a 100 rated passer. Russell Wilson, 4 consecutive seasons where he's been a 100 rated passer. You will not argue the fact that all of those are Hall of Fame players, correct? Russell Wilson's
sure.
Probably.
Fine. You could throw Russ in there. He won some big games. Go ahead.
Now, other guys with 3 consecutive seasons passer rating of 100 rating. Mahomes, Rivers, Kirk Cousins. Probably the weakest of that group that I've just named.
Yes.
With 3 consecutive seasons of 100 rating
Mahomes,
passing.
Yes.
Is probably Kirk Cousins, correct?
Okay.
All right. Tua has done it as well.
Okay.
Those
and
are
that
the
means what?
The only company he keeps are elite quarterbacks. In what he's achieved in his first 5 seasons. Only company.
Okay.
Only company.
But here's the thing, man.
No. Don't butt here. Did you acknowledge that?
No, I don't acknowledge it because you can throw numbers at us all day and they just don't mean anything. They don't mean anything.
Because you don't have a playoff win. As if he's the only reason you don't have a playoff win.
He's not the only reason, but he's a big reason.
Okay, fair.
He's a big part of that.
That's fair. I'm not going to deny that.
If the Dolphins won a Super Bowl, it would be because of him, right? And everyone would crown him.
Not
and
really.
All this
Did
other
Russell
stuff.
Wilson win a Super Bowl
so
because of Russell Wilson?
Yeah, he was a big part of it, and he gets a lot of credit for it.
He does get a lot of credit for it.
And when they start saying, "Oh, is he a Hall of Famer?" they're going to throw that in there.
They are.
So yeah, I just don't. I don't. None of the numbers to me matter because I know that Tua's numbers are good. I get it. But none of them matter.
Led the league in...
What matters is the eye test.
Oh, my God.
What matters is, does this guy win? Is he a winner?
He is a winner. He's never had a losing season. He is a winner.
Okay. Does he win games that matter, Omar? Does he beat good teams
It's
late
not
in
just
season?
Him that has to win games that matter.
Okay.
It's not just him.
Is Kirk Cousins a good quarterback?
Yeah. Not at this stage.
Kirk Cousins in this whole thing?
Kirk Cousins won a playoff game.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that.
Kirk Cousins would be in the mediocre category, I don't even make that Kirk Cousins'
number one accomplishment. You know what in my mind is Kirk Cousins' number one accomplishment? First player in the league with a fully guaranteed contract, not on a rookie deal. And nobody else but Deshaun Watson followed, and obviously what happened to Deshaun Watson means it'll never happen again. But that was the first domino that had to fall for the league for players to actually get fully guaranteed contracts.
I've always thought this about this Dolphins era here, this Mike McDaniel era, that the numbers are incredibly misleading. Because they had a good offense. They put up a lot.
Be very specific. What numbers?
They put up a lot of big, gaudy offensive numbers. Because
they were a big, gaudy offense.
And you know what, though? If you go back to those seasons where they were really putting up the numbers, look at the teams they were doing it against. Okay? But you can't roll your eyes at that.
I can.
And you know what? Look.
I can.
You could do this in
any sport. Like I throw numbers at you, which Tua has phenomenal numbers, and you roll your eyes at them and you say numbers don't always matter.
Are irrelevant because, again, you could do this in any sport. Look at guys on bad NBA teams that put up insane.
Is he on a bad team?
He's on a mediocre team. Yeah, exactly.
Are you comparing to Terry Rozier?
No.
They might be comps. I don't know.
What?
They could be. Yeah, man, I just don't think you could throw these numbers. I've told you this for years. I think the numbers are absolutely meaningless. And I know that you have numbers to back up your claims that Tua is a great quarterback.
I did say great. It was retracted, yes, and did. Now you're doing it. Now you're throwing it in my face.
Yep. This guy says, text says 2 years, F those stats, a bigger moment, Tua disappears, especially late in the season.
He does.
This guy says, man, stop those quarterbacks beating quality teams. Tua shows up against the doormats of the NFL.
Yeah.
Tua's record against teams above 500.
It's not just Tua's record against teams above 500. In a lot of those clutch games, Kansas City, the Eagles, Tyreek has dropped massive passes. Has he not? Tyreek has fumbled the ball leading to a touchdown against Kansas City. It is not just Tua that does not show up in big games.
That's fair. That's perfectly fair.
We just ignore that. They don't even have a whole defense.
I think what you want to do against, when you
against
go
the
into
Chiefs
season,
in the playoff game, they didn't have a starting defensive lineman.
But it goes back to this. It goes back to the ultimate point of all of this is, do you feel like going into a season with that guy as your starting quarterback, that you have a chance to win a Super Bowl? And the answer is no.
When's the last time I felt like that with the Dolphins quarterback? His name is Dan
maybe
Marino.
Never. Yeah. Not a lot of our lifetimes.
If I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I never felt like that, even when Matt Ryan took his team to the Super Bowl. If I'm Kirk Cousins, if I'm whatever team Kirk Cousins is on, do I realistically have a chance to win a Super Bowl? Only elite quarterbacks or great defenses win Super Bowls. That's been proven.
I agree with you, but.
Like elite quarterbacks are great defenses. Build one, get one of those.
Building an elite defense right now.
They certainly are not. I just wrote a column in the Miami Herald about
plug that.
Let's set some realistic expectations for this Dolphins defense because they've got less talent than they had last year.
Yeah, we know that.
And they were top 10 defense last year.
And the Dolphins,
so how I don't know.
Last season came back with less talent than they did the year before, and look what happened. So we'll do this. Let's take a pause. The Dolphins are on the field today. Mike McDaniel's going to speak to Omar and company. And you guys can lob your softballs up at him.
Oh, what?
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. ask him. Well, man, look, you guys got good stuff to ask him.
You give me, since you're such media tough guy, why don't you give me some hardball chin music questions for Mike McDaniel.
Ask him why Tua stinks late in the season against good teams in the cold. Ask
just like that, huh?
Yeah, straight up. And then ask him why he still has a job. Because that's what the fans want.
Yeah.
Hey, man, listen, I will say this. I happen to be a big fan of Mike. I really am. I like his coaching style. I like the way he deals with the players. I think it's incredibly unfair the way players have taken advantage of his kindness. You know,
there's some valid,
it's funny because
to that.
It's just funny because you hear guys like Jalen and who else was crying after, was it Javon, right? They're crying about Vic Fangio's too mean to us. And all right, Mike is nice and he treats you with respect and he lets you kind of do what you want to do and you crap all over him. So what do you guys want? The guy's either too tough or he's too nice and you take advantage of him. So, like, what do
there,
you
there
want?
Is,
they
there,
cried about Brian Flores. Brian Flores is too mean. Vic
No. They didn't
mean.
Cry about
These
Brian Flores. Only
tough.
Tua and Austin Jackson cried about Brian Flores.
But
Brian Flores was very
too.
Mean to them.
Oh, whatever, man. It's just like, again, it's funny because you've had the two opposites of the whole, like, you know, you had the two tough guys. You cried. You had the nice guy. And you
take
don't
advantage.
Show them any respect. You take advantage of them. So what do they want? What is it, man? What can we do to help them out? Since we're under contract with a lot of these guys, we owe them a lot of money.
Not really.
How
not,
do we make them happy?
Not
money
really.
Didn't do it. Being nice to them didn't do it. What do they want? Ask them that.
Right now, Jalen just wants to be traded. Five days. He tweets out 5 days.
Apparently.
Five. No, five. He tweets out five.
All right, we'll be back in 5, 7 o'clock hours next on QAM.